preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
So thankful that you've tuned in today for another edition of Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study of John chapter 4, and we are really studying the aftermath of what happened when Jesus saved this woman at the well. It's always a wonderful thing to study, because what are the effects of a genuine rebirth? What does a transformed life look like? What happens when one who has been given living water? What happens in the heart? Well, this woman shows us that in John chapter 4. And remember where we left off yesterday. There was a great exchange that occurred. The disciples had come back from the city, and remember, they were carrying food, and the emphasis there is on physical food. But the woman had gone into the city, and what has she done? She is bringing back all of these people. We're getting the sense that it was all the men, and of course, they were representatives of the whole city. The disciples had been there the whole time, and they are bringing back just physical food. Something wrong? The 12 disciples have been totally ineffective as followers of Jesus Christ. They had nothing on their minds about bringing souls to Christ, and yet this one woman who had immediately been transformed and given this living water was bringing back the whole city to him. Now, this is really going to strike us this week, especially those in the kingdom, those who have been brought out of darkness, who are followers of Jesus, who at one time were very zealous and understood their first love, understood what it meant to be followers of Christ, but have completely forgotten what the mission and mandate is, what Jesus is doing, what their calling is as individual Christians. How many labor for the food which perishes? Right? Jesus asks that question. But Jesus then challenged people to labor for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man gives. So have you noticed here, as you study John 4, and as you look at the aftermath of this amazing account, when Jesus gave this woman living water, have you noticed what's happened? She's been given this water, and what's it doing? It's bursting. It's flowing. Remember what Christ said? When one has been given this living water, what happens? What will it do? It's not going to be like a stagnant well, like Jacob's well that was there and had a spring at the bottom. And at the top, it was just stagnant. Christ fills our hearts with living water. It's a fountain springing up to everlasting life, he says. You want to know what that looks like? You want to know when genuine transformation and new birth and life has been given? Jesus is teaching us something here through this woman. She can't help but speak of who saved her. Remember, Jesus had asked the question, if you knew who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She couldn't help but speak of him. She knew him. He was the Messiah. He had revealed himself to her. Come, see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Did you catch that? The concealing is over. When Christ first exposed her and said, go call your husband to me, she didn't want to talk about that because it exposed her life. It exposed her darkness of her heart. And when sinners are walking in the darkness, they don't want to be confronted with the light. Christ had exposed her sin, had exposed her bad life, her guilt, her sorrow, all the things that condemned her, and she didn't want to talk about it. But listen, conviction of sin is the end of the concealing of sin. That's such an important concept. The conviction of sin is the end of the concealing of sin in your life. Isn't that what occurs when you've been given living water? He fills your thoughts, your pursuits. He has so filled the void that you have with all these earthly things that you have tried to fill for years to complete that void, to be satisfied, to be happy, and it's never occurred. You've just been jumping from one idol to one idol to one idol. Your soul is restless. You're seeking to be filled with anything and everything. And all of a sudden, Christ comes and calls you out of darkness. Christ comes and gives life into your dead heart. And you're finally filled. You're given a new birth. You're given life. You're given living water. It's flowing to everlasting life. And what has happened in you? Well, that's not very hard to figure out. Even if it were apart from this account and we didn't have that picture, we would know that if you have something that has filled you, you want everyone to know about it. You know? All of us know where the best steak is in town, and we all know because someone has told us and they've invested their time and their money because it's delightful to them. Well, shouldn't we care much more about the Christ who has given us eternal life? That's what happens. You're filled, and you want everyone to know. You want everyone to have what you have because you've been searching all your life and you've never found it. Think of how sad we are. We all know. We all know the best places to eat, the best places to have fun, the best places to do things. But ultimately, they're not satisfying. Nevertheless, we know those things. When Christ fills your heart, you know Him. And He fills you so that He bursts out of you as you tell others of His wonderful salvation. See what a Spirit-filled life looks like? She's saying, I met a man. That's what's happening. She's telling everyone about Jesus Christ. Come meet a man. Could this be Him? She is bringing them to Him, and they come. Dear friend, as Christ changed you, so that sinners see what you have, and as it bursts in you, others are coming. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, there was a recovery of what they felt had been so lost, biblical expositional preaching of the Word of God. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, we are committed to continue that wonderful tradition of preaching the whole counsel of God in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. We would love to have you be a part of our fellowship. The greatest need of our day is bold and unashamed proclamation of the truth. Join us at the Linden United Reformed Church. At this point, the text does something very fascinating. It leaves us with this woman who has gone into the city and told all these people about Christ, and then the text just stops and it shifts. There's a great pause that happens, and it picks up with this thought again in verse 39. But sandwiched between this discourse is something that happens between Jesus and His disciples. All of what happens is now given in contrast to what is going on with the goal of opening the disciples' spiritually dull hearts to the purpose of their existence, to the purpose of their following, to understand what had been announced in John 3:16, that this Jesus is the Savior of the world. Verse 31. In the meantime, the woman has gone. She's sharing her faith with the people of the city. And they are starting to walk out to Jesus. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Verse 6 of John 4 told us that Jesus was weary from the journey. So they have food. They have gone into the city to get sandwiches. Rabbi, eat. Verse 32. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Now here we go again. Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms. This is the fourth time in John's gospel, by the way. John 2, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. What? Took 46 years to build this temple. They did not know He was speaking of His body. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Where do I find a womb to get into to be born again? It was spiritual. Ma'am, if you drink this water, you will thirst. But if you drink the water that I give you, it will be a fountain springing up to everlasting life. You don't have a pitcher. You have nothing to draw with. And now the fourth time. Rabbi, eat. I have food you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Now, you know, this whole charge today that teaching should be brought down so low and made so light and easy just doesn't comport with Jesus' teaching. Jesus took it up a notch, so much so that by John 6, they said, who can understand it? And they left him. Jesus spoke in spiritual terms. He spoke spiritual language. And only those who are given spiritual eyes to see by the Holy Spirit can understand it. And that's why Jesus was constantly saying, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's not something you've done. That's something given to you from above. So Jesus says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. In every case thus far, you've witnessed Christ show the spiritual deadness in the Gospel of John of the Jews and of a Pharisee and of a woman at the well. And now we come to the disciples, and they can't see their own hearts. They can't see their need. They are totally and completely misunderstanding the purpose of their following. Now, if you were to contrast those other ones, they had no life in their hearts, you know? And that was the Jews who had not believed in the Messiah. That was Nicodemus. That's the woman at the well. And there are some listening maybe who today have not yet been born again. How would you know if you're not born again? Because anything of a spiritual nature, spiritual terms, the teachings of Scripture are incredibly uninteresting and boring to you. Sermons make no sense. The Bible you can't understand, and you don't see your need for it. Tick, tick, tick. You love all your things, and you're jumping from idol to idol. But in light of the disciples, there's another kind of spiritual dullness that is exposed in followers of Jesus Christ. Listen, these are genuine followers of Christ, but they've lost an understanding as to why. We ask that. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be a Christian? So you've made the commitment. What does it look like? In other words, if being a Christian is to be a follower of Christ, then I need to know how Christ wants me to follow him, right? That would be a Christian, somebody who follows Christ in the way that Christ wants to be followed. Well, here the disciples are Christians. They follow, but they've grown incredibly worldly. They've become earthly. Their minds are set on earthly things. And there's a real grieving of the Spirit that Christians can commit so easily, and we see it here with the disciples. Their minds are not on heavenly things. They have not really entered into what Jesus is doing. They're just there. They're drifters. They're drifting. Now contrast this, my friends. They've entered a whole city of Samaria of their own enemies, and all they've brought back is physical food. All they were interested in was their bellies. And this adulterous woman who had been given living water right then and there is bringing the city out to Christ. So Jesus says, I have food of which you do not know. When did we give him food? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Dear brothers, do you know why I've come? It's not for that food. I don't need to be sustained by the food that you bring to me. What sustains me? It's the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? That all that have been given to him, he should lose nothing but raise them up at the last day. Dear friend, are you in Christ? Do you have living water? Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the Linden United Reformed Church. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we do give you a sincere invite on this radio program to join us for worship. We welcome you here and have you join us that we may glorify God together in hearing his word proclaimed. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. On the Lord's Day, visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.